Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Yes, welcome.
Oh, that was actually, I got that one out.
I didn't interrupt.
I'm your host, Christine Lincoln.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host, Ala Khaled.
Today on the podcast, we have some of your old friends.
We have some old friends. One's really old, and the other one's younger. But she's a dear friend of mine. Her name is Randy Heller. You might know her from The Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Mad Men. She's an Emmy nominee.
My God,
that's
you have
correct.
Fancy friends.
And then my other friend, Lauren Frost, you might remember her from Even Stevens.
Sure.
That was that show with Shiloh.
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia. I always want to say Shiloh.
Yeah, I don't know who Shiloh is.
Amphitheater. And she's a musician, singer. She has a band. We'll talk about that. But I know them both from Barbara Streisand. 2000 tour.
Drop that name.
Barbara Streisand, Timeless.
Because you were on that tour with them.
With them. And we're going to talk all Barbara stories.
Okay.
About our experience.
I love me some Babs. Yeah. Let's do it.
You know what I noticed? That we've had a lot of Emmy nominees, Tony nominees. We have not had any winners.
God, we are losers.
Completely.
You know, coming in second is just losing.
So please welcome Randy Heller and Lauren Frost.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of like worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best served funny.
Hi you guys, thank you so much for being here.
We got Randy Heller and Lauren Frost, dear friends of mine. I haven't seen Lauren. I haven't seen you in...
I don't even know how long.
It's been at least 15,
Has
16
it really?
Years, yeah.
Oh my God.
How old are you now?
I can still barely see you because my contact just fell out of my eyeball.
Don't make your problem my problem.
You look great out of my left eye.
Thanks.
He needs a little Vaseline on the lens anyway, yeah. So.
And then Randy.
You have to speak up, everybody, because I can't.
Okay, Randy's old.
You have to use the
microphone.
You have to,
I'm getting old.
Okay, Randy's old, and so.
I'm not old, I'm getting old.
Well, you're older.
You look fabulous. Did you just say your age? Because I don't believe that.
How old are you?
70.
70?
So crazy,
fabulous.
Man. I mean, like, I can't.
Okay, here's the deal, guys. If you don't remember Randy, one of, like, the iconic roles that you had was Karate Kid, the movie.
Wax on, wax off.
That's right,
or
Ralph Macchio.
Or someone of my friends say, wax on, whack off.
But here's the deal. It's like you started on Broadway.
I did.
Broadway.
Well, stop it.
Well, that's how you say it.
I know, but I'm trying to correct that. My husband, everybody's like, forget it. Okay.
Okay. So
Broadway.
But you did, did you do Hair or did you did some, you did
Hair.
Some.
Hair?
What show did you do? Did you, Jesus
Greece.
Christ? Huh?
Greece.
Oh, God's that's spell. Right. Godspell.
Oh.
That's it.
Greece. No, it's Greece.
Greece.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And then Lauren. Yeah.
Yes.
You started as a child actor.
Yeah, I started with you guys.
That was your first job?
Oh, well, first big gig, yeah.
So the first gig that I met and the only time I worked with Lauren was with, should we all say it together, guys?
Barbara Streisand.
Streisand with an S.
That's correct.
And did you play a young Barbara?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
The show's called Timeless. You can catch it, find it.
And remember,
yes.
That was going to be her swan song 17 years ago.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
And
she's had several swan songs since then.
Absolutely.
But I have to say, I've seen a couple of the shows after ours, and ours was the best.
Did you get invited? Did you go?
Richard J. Alexander invited me to a few of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you sit on stage?
No.
Were you next to Barbara?
Lauren, did you?
No.
Okay. I'm like, wait, am I missing something? No.
No, I'm just jealous. I missed those.
Well, I kept in touch with Richard J. Alexander was directing us the second part of our tour.
Right.
He didn't start with us, and I sort of maintained a friendship with him a couple of years later. I haven't seen him in a long time, but yeah. So we all had very different experiences with the Streisand tour, Timeless.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, by the way, we all say this was the best job we ever had in our lives. I mean, for me, it was.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So
How
much fun.
Long did this go on from start to finish?
A year.
It was like a year
on and off
half,
for a year.
It?
Yeah.
Was
yeah,
it a year
we started
and a half?
In November of 99.
Right.
Our first show was in Las Vegas for the Millennium New
Which
Year's.
Was supposed to be first and last show.
Right, because we didn't know they had, well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We'll start from the audition
you
process.
You thought it was just the Vegas
Randy and I thought it was just the Vegas. We were just hired for the Vegas.
Same.
We'll get into that.
Oh.
So it ended up being a year and a half of nothing but fucking fun.
Not only that, the greatest hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah.
No food, though.
It's true. No Our food. First day of rehearsal, Randy and I walk up. We don't even know each other. And we go, because working on television and movie sets,
Kraft.
The first place you go to is, where's Crafty?
You check it
Where
out.
Where the sure. fuck
yeah,
is Crafty?
This that, could be good or bad. Right.
So we get there, and we both arrive at the same time. I remember walking into the building at Raleigh Studios in Manhattan Beach.
Right.
We get there and say, I remember her walking out of her car. I'm walking out of my car. We both smile at each other. We have no idea who each other is because we didn't audition together.
Right. This is your meet cute. Your meet cute. Yeah.
And we both smile at each other. And I don't know if she's working on the show as like production, if she's like a manager. I have no idea. She has no idea who I am. We both go to the craft service table and we're like, what the fuck?
And, you know, be aware that, remember this, there was a 75-piece orchestra.
Correct.
Right?
Also rehearsing
and there
with
was
you.
One
well, no, they didn't rehearse with us in the beginning.
Oh, I see.
It was just it was the just Marvin.
I thought it was the second day that the 75-piece orchestra came. Uh-uh. No?
No, that was later in the rehearsal process. Gosh. Right, Lauren?
I don't know. I'm glad you guys remember all the details.
Oh, I have all the details ingrained in my head.
Good.
No, so we walk up to the craft service table, and literally there's beef jerky, M&Ms,
and a little
and
chips
some coffee.
Or popcorn.
Yeah. And that's it. And we're like, we're not, by the way, we're there all day. We're there like 12, 14 hour days.
Yeah.
Did you think you were on the wrong set or something?
We just was like, maybe there's another,
maybe they're serving. Maybe they'll come out.
Maybe they're bringing catering.
Yeah. We didn't know what was happening. Yeah. So we're like, okay, it was weird. Now, Randy at the time had, if you don't mind me getting personal.
No.
She had just
finished
her last chemo. So she had really, really short hair.
No, I had no hair. I was bald.
Well, you had short hair at the time that I met you.
No. I was bald and I was wearing a wig, remember?
No, Lauren. I mean, Randy. Listen
you
to
can't
me.
Even remember who
oh
I am.
Listen,
oh, no.
Randy, the what first hair? Day you showed up without your wig.
No.
Yes, you did.
No, you got this all wrong. Now.
No,
could
you're
I take over, please?
Oh, my
God.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead.
The first day I came with a wig and a cap. You don't remember this.
I promise you right now, on the first day you did not show up with a wig. Because on that first day, they go to you, where's your wig?
Oh, I was wearing a beret. You're right.
Where's your wig?
Right.
And she's like, well, I didn't bring a wig because they're like, but you auditioned with a wig.
They were uncomfortable. Yeah.
They said, she goes, I didn't bring a wig because I just assumed that for the show, you'll be supplying a wig.
That's right. It's rehearsal.
Yeah, it's just rehearsing. Yeah.
Right. You're right.
And so you got in a little bit of panic because you're like, there was never a moment where we were not panicked. We're like, we're going to get fired. We always thought we were going to get fired.
Yeah, that I remember. That part I remember.
We always thought we were going to
get
fired.
No, you're right. I had a beret because I thought that would cover my baldness.
Yeah.
I don't think I had much hair. But anyway,
you had a
my
very little hair,
very
I remember.
Little bit of hair. And Barbara Streisand's assistant came over to me and
Renata?
She said, excuse me. I don't think, was it Renata?
I don't remember
no,
which
I
one.
Don't
no,
think
it was
Renata.
It was the other one.
And she said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, of course. And I go, oh, crap, I'm going to get fired already. I haven't even, like, eaten, an M&M yet. So.
Because that's all we had.
So she said, Barbara's a little upset. Oh, why? She said, because she needs to see the wig on you.
She's like a very visual person.
She's method.
Yeah.
She's a method actress.
Correct.
And she must see that you look like her mother.
Because that was a big thing in the casting, right? That, I mean, Allah said from his story, it was all about having the bow tie, the sweater vest. Like, he had to be that person in her mind.
Exactly. So it threw her that she didn't see the wig. And that she couldn't act unless she saw the wig, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was fucked because I didn't have the wig. I'm not sure. Maybe it was in my car and I said,
no,
well,
you didn't have
tomorrow
it.
I'll make sure to bring the wig. And then I did.
Yeah, but we both looked at each other like, are they not going to supply a wig? I remember there was one moment where they're like, well, how much is a wig?
No, because I had to play Shirley MacLaine. So they had to get another wig.
Just for rehearsals.
I was told there's not enough money in the budget. I said, but the wigs are like $39.99. I could just like run down and get,
so
get a
wig. Just so we're clear, Randy played Barbara's mother. Lauren played young Barbara, and I played her first recording studio, her mother's Compass. First recording studio accompanist.
Yeah.
And the whole story of Timeless, it's sort of like a biography of her life in the sense of where, how she became Barbara Streisand, essentially. So I was the first person that told her she'd never make it in the business. Because what her
you were cast as an asshole?
Correct.
That is shocking.
So, because what her mother, when her mother had extra time on her recording sessions, she would give it to young Barbara to record. So she essentially recorded her first album at like 12, right?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to go back real quick into our auditions because we auditioned separately. Lauren, what was your audition?
I didn't know what I was auditioning for.
None of us did.
Right. It was put down in the breakdowns as a pilot. I was...
Movie of the week called Maybe Marcia.
Yeah. Maybe Marcia.
You're merry man. Give me God. Five. I don't remember that now.
Yeah, I was like fresh-faced to L.A., coming out of theater in Chicago. This was my first time auditioning in Hollywood. So I didn't even know like how it goes. And I go into this room and I sang a little song and... Do you remember Greg Smith, casting director?
He's the reason why I got the part.
Yeah, he's the greatest man. I love that guy. He welled up. He grabbed his heart and started to cry, and he left the room. My mom is waiting for me in the waiting room.
Like, wow, they are really into this Maybe Marcia thing.
Yeah, totally. And I thought I was like giving the man a heart attack. My mom is a nurse, and he's like sits down next to her, and she's like, "Are you okay?" And then he was just saying like, I don't know what he said, but he was overwhelmed. He was,
and you had no idea that you were actually singing.
No,
on tape.
It was a Barbara Streisand.
I think I sang "Someone to Watch Over Me," just like a standard song.
Because my audition was completely different. Greg Smith, I think, thought I was an asshole.
Okay,
mm-hmm. And which is the reason why I think I got the role.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because everyone when I arrived in the room, first of all, my agents were like, "It's a movie of the week." Called Maybe Marcia. There's sides. The sides are horrible. Do you want to go in on this? And I'm like, yes, I want to go in on it. I mean, who am I to turn down an audition? So I get there. I was going through, had a really bad day. And I get there, and it was at like some old commercial casting office.
Right. Very small room.
Right, off La Cienega.
Screenland?
It was PIP.
Fold out table.
Yeah.
And there was a cutout image, cut out cardboard, mm-hmm. of a child, of a girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like your size. So that when we went in, we had to compare.
I didn't have that. She said, stand next to this girl. I think it was probably for the mothers.
Stand next to this cardboard.
I think it was for the mothers because I didn't have that. So I came in with jeans and a t-shirt. Everyone in the room, in the waiting room, was wearing bow ties, dress shirts, and slacks. I was just such in a bad. I was in such a bad mood that I was like, I don't fucking care. Who cares? Right. This doesn't even sound like a legit audition. Right. So I'm looking at everybody going, oh, I'm totally out of place here. And there was a piece of a song that they wanted us to learn called "You'll Never Know."
Oh yeah.
And I didn't even learn it. So I kept asking the assistant at the casting office, I'm like, "What is this for?" She's like, "I can't tell you, but sign in." Nah, nah. So I wait. I'm waiting like 45 minutes, and I look at her. I go, "Listen, I think I'm going to leave because, A, I don't think I'm right for this, and I don't know what this is about. It's just something's not right." She's like, "Well, you're next. You might as well stay."
You're kidding.
So I stayed. I went in, and Greg goes, "Do you have any questions?" And I said to him, "Well, the only question I have, you can't answer, so let's just do this."
No.
Because I thought this was like totally fake, like – this production is never happening, whatever it is. This is bullshit, some sort of like European funded scam, right? So I'm like, the only question I have, you can't answer, so let's just do this.
Oh my God.
And then he goes, "Did you learn the song?" And I go, "Nope."
He goes, You booked it.
Okay.
Book him.
He goes, "Okay." And he goes, "Well, it goes like this." And he sings, and I go, "Okay, I got it. Thanks." I do it. He goes, hold on a second. Let me make sure I have this recorded. It's like it got on tape. I was like, no problem. I leave. I don't think anything of it. 3 weeks later, four weeks later.
That long?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have auditioned close to it.
I get a call saying from my agent saying, hey, remember that Maybe Marsha audition? Well, you got a call back, but we have to tell you they've narrowed it down to two people.
Whoa.
And you're one of them, but it's not a movie of the week. It's to go on tour with Barbara Streisand. And I go, fuck off. And I hang up on my agents. They call back and they go, did you hang up on us? Uh-huh. I go, there is no way that Barbara Streisand is attached to this material. She's like, that's not the material that you're going to be reading. It was just to sort of like get the gist of the character. They're going to give you new sides when you get to Barbara's house. In 2 days, you're going to be picked up. You'll meet at Greg Smith's house, and you'll ride to the audition in Malibu at Barbara's house. So,
did you pee your pants?
I was dying. Oh, so then they go, and they're requesting that you wear a bow tie, a dress shirt,
and a wig,
and a sweater vest. I go, where am I going to find a sweater vest this time of year? Right? So, I had no idea. I can't say anything to anybody. I have no idea what the sides are. I'm freaking out. I'm going to Barbara's house. I get to Greg Smith's house because we're going to be driven to Barbara's with Greg.
John the driver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I get there. I knock on the door and I was like, hey, I'm here. And behind Greg is the other guy.
Oh, he was already in the room.
He was already in the room. He was already at the house.
But I thought you had driven together.
I'm talking about when I get to Greg's house. Right. Because we were leaving from Greg's house.
Oh, no. You knew him by the bow tie.
So yeah. I'm like, he introduces me to the other guy's name. I can't remember his name. Let's just call him Jason for now.
Sure. Bow tie too, competition.
I'm like, hi. And he's like, so yeah, this is, he is also auditioning for the, and I go, okay, great. So I have to ride with this guy and the other woman who was auditioning to play the mother. We get to Barbara's house and it's like, Christine, it's literally like, remember when Annie first gets to Daddy Warbuck's house?
And like the gates open. Assistants run down.
And there's like all these assistants with like little, and they're like, you know, in pencil skirts and like having you sign every confidentiality agreement possible. And they shuffle us to, I think it was called Grandma's house.
Yep, it was Grandma's house.
Where all her awards are and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, just have a seat. Kenny Ortega will be right with you. And he'll give you the new sides. So we're sitting there. By the way, the car ride all the way up there, the guy that I was auditioning against is best friends with like Greg. They'd worked together on like 10 projects.
That's the worst.
So they were like, remember when we did this and this and this? And I'm like,
for
third
like an
wheel,
hour.
I'm like, fuck, you know, the whole time. So then when we're in the room, Kenny Ortega walks in, and you know how he enters a room.
I'm here.
Everything is magical, right?
Magical.
And he drops his satchel. You know, it's a whole thing, right? Yeah. So he hands out the sides. He's like, let's read it together. So he's reading it with this guy in front of me and then reading it with me, which is even more awkward, right? So now I'm hearing the other guy audition. So then he goes to both of us, do you guys want to go over it again? And the other guy's, being the actor that he is, because I would have done the same thing, goes, no, I'm going to just step away and do it on my own for a little bit. And I look at Kenny and go, I'd love to go over it again with you. Because I know he's directing it. So he's going to give me feedback.
Smart move.
So I read with him. They bring in the other mother and they bring in the other guy first. They're back in like 15 minutes. The mother stays in to wait for me. I go in. I walk through the kitchen. There's this guy with like, you know, those brawny shirts, like the plaid from the brawny towels.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's wearing a brawny. And he looks like he's eating chunky soup or something, like a really thick soup. And he's on a laptop and he stands up towering. And it's James Brolin.
Of course it is.
And he's like, nice to meet you. And then I look across in a cow neck coral chenille sweater with the glasses with the chain. She's leaned against the couch like this.
Draping on the couch.
She stands up and I'm like slow motion walking to her like, oh my God, I'm about to go fucking meet Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand. She goes, thank you so much for coming. I go, are you kidding me? Thank you. You know? So we do it. I read with the mother. Kenny's like, hey, because I'm Alec, you know.
Right.
He goes, Kenny, he goes, Alec, why don't you read it with Barbara? And Barbara turns to him and she goes, well, I'm not playing this part. He goes, but it's you. Read it with them. So, okay. So she sort of fumbles with the lines and sort of makes up her own lines. So I start improvising a little bit. And she goes, oh, that's good. Let's write that down. And then she's like, hold on. Can we get a recorder? I'm going to record this. So she starts recording it. And I'm going, either she's loving me or they're going to steal everything I'm giving them. Right? I'm in there for almost an hour.
Wow.
We're rewriting the scene. I walk back to the grandma's house, and the other guy's like white in the face. He's like, where have you been? And I was like, oh, you know, we're just doing it. We're just, you know, fixing it up and the scene. He's like, but you were there for so long. I go, yeah, we were just like rewriting it and stuff. And
Bowtie number two now has a lot of flop sweat happening.
Yeah.
We're on the way. Now we're in the car. It's silence. It is awkward silence. Me and him are in the back seat.
So he didn't even read for them?
No, he did. He came back within 10 minutes.
Right, okay.
And I was there for like almost an hour. We're on our way down, and the phone rings. Greg's phone rings. And I just have a strange feeling. It's something about me. It rings, and I hear Greg go, uh-huh, okay, yeah, I'll ask. All right. Okay, thanks. Click. About 2 minutes go by on the car ride. No, mind you, we're driving back from Malibu to West Hollywood. He goes to the other guy. Hey, Jason, where are you from? And he's like, well, what do you mean? He goes, like, what's your background? And he goes, I'm white. You know, he goes, like, oh, okay. Alec, how about you? And I go, well, I'm Israeli. He goes, oh, you're Israeli? And I go, yep. I'm Israeli as it gets. Mind you, whoa, I'm Palestinian. Alec Led is my stage name. Allah Mohammed Khaled is my real name. But I just felt like something was up. And he goes, oh, okay, because we thought you were Lebanese. And I go, nope, I'm Israeli. Get the call the next day that I booked it.
Whoa.
And don't cut your hair. That was the note.
So do you think if you said you were Palestinian,
no,
you wouldn't have gotten the role?
I think what it was, because we discussed this earlier, is that Barbara is such a visual person and method that if she doesn't believe it, it doesn't exist, right?
Right?
So, I mean, and we learned that through the show,
right,
with your tights, mm-hmm, to my bow tie, to whatever it is. It's got to feel real to her. It's mm-hmm got to, that these people are real people in her lives.
Right.
So I don't think it was a race thing. I think that there was a moment, which, by the way, I'm Palestinian, which is Israel. It's the same country, so it's a pseudo lie,
right,
but,
right,
you know.
Right, pseudo lie, yeah.
Which turns out, once we're on tour, how I was, like, freaking out because I have to get airline tickets and hotel rooms in my real name.
You thought you were going to get revealed.
I was like, this is it.
I don't think I've ever called you by your real name for that reason, because I was like told his name is Alec. Don't mess it up. Call him Alec. Like,
yeah,
the whole time.
Yeah. People call me Alec. Everyone from that time period of my life call me Alec. Randy, what was your audition?
Okay. I was supposed to be in that car with you guys because, you know,
right,
nobody could know where she lived. I mean,
right,
that was really right important. But the fact was, I was going to see my kids. You know, I had a vacation planned, and I wouldn't break it. I said, I'm sorry, I don't care if it's Barbara Streisand or whoever. I'll take myself, because you were going to go days later, and I was already supposed to go on my trip. So I said, if she can't see me, you know, when I need to be there, then I'm not doing it. So I drove myself to Barbara Streisand's house with that imposing gait. And somebody came to the gate to meet me. They brought me to Streisand's grandma's house. I opened the door. She's standing there. And I said to myself, don't be overwhelmed, because I'm sure she just wants to feel comfortable with people that she's going to work with. So I just went, hey, Barbara, how you doing? You know, and I went in and I read with her, and I walked out, and Kenny comes running after me, and he goes, I think she's going to book you. She really likes you.
Oh, that's great.
That was the whole thing. But when I went in to audition in that little room with Greg Smith, you know, and he had this table and he had this cutout figure of you. And it wasn't you, but
it was your size.
And I'm saying to Greg, I said, what the fuck is... I said, I got to know what I'm auditioning for. He goes, I can't tell you. I said, oh, come on. What is it? And there was a picture on his little card table and it was turned over. And he reached over and he turned it and he flipped it and he goes, because it's her.
No. Are you kidding me?
And I went... Oh, that's Barbara Streisand. So he said, yes, and we can't tell anybody.
That's a good Greg Smith impression.
Isn't that funny?
That's how he talks.
And I said, oh, well, okay, and what would I be playing? You would be playing her mother. And that's how it happened. It was a pretty easy way for me.
So we got booked on this job. Your audition was what? Did you go to her house and sing?
Oh, yeah. Well,
were there other girls in contention?
Oh, yeah. I started out, went to the little casting place, sang for Greg, thought I gave him a heart attack, and I didn't. And then I had to go back home to Chicago because my time was up in LA. Like, my parents, I was young, I had begged them to come here to audition for TV and film stuff, and we planned on like a month of being here over my summer break from school, and then had to go back to Chicago. My agent at the time was like, do you have to go back? Are you sure? Because she might get a call back. And so I did I did several callbacks from Illinois. And before I had to fly back out to meet Marvin Hamlisch and sing for him. But in those callbacks in between meeting Greg, I still didn't know what it was, but they were sending me music, like scores, actual scores. And they had... whited out like Barbara's name, everything, Marvin's name, and it was just this music that I had to learn. And my dad's a musician, so he had a little recording studio, so I would sing and record the demos. But I remember, like, vividly my dad and I, like, trying to hold the sheet music up to the light to see through the white out, and we're like, I think that says, does that say, no way, you know, like freaking out, because we still thought it was a weird, I thought it was a pilot. It was a movie of the week. Like, who the heck is maybe Marsha? And then little clues, like, it just kept leading up to me finding out. But, like, they would send me these sides. They sent me sides, and I had to learn, it said a Brooklyn Jewish accent. And in the vein of Funny Girl. So I'm like, I already, like, watched, I know Funny Girl, but I was rewatching Funny Girl to get this accent. So that's, you know. You put some pieces together. We were like, holy shit.
Yeah, because it was one open audition, and not open, but like through agents, and then one callback, and that was it. And then booked the job. Same with you.
And I was the only one there, actually.
Well, because the other mother was...
already on her en route.
With me.
Yeah, right.
And she said, I remember her saying to me, she goes, after my read, because we were walking back together, she goes, you're so much better than that other guy.
Oh, wow.
I was like, girl, don't tell me. No one plays New York Jew better than me.
Yeah.
Right? So so then we booked the job.
Uh-huh.
I'm over the moon because, A, I love theater. I know it's going to be like, we're not talking like a theater in New York. We're talking like venues like
stadiums.
The MGM. Stadiums. And so we were only hired to do, it was supposed to be the New Year's Eve special
at the Staples
at the MGM Grand.
At the MGM Grand.
This is Y2K too. We all thought we were going to die after the concert.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
The last concert ever.
Yeah. This is our slot song.
So for the millennium, we rehearsed for what? I think it was 6 weeks.
Yeah.
In LA every day, except for like I think we had one day off a week at Raleigh Studios, and in the middle of it. We just automatically bonded. By the way, Sevion Glover, the tap artist, was playing Brother Time. Mm-hmm. So he was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
We lucked out.
Unbelievable.
So,
and Marvin Hamlisch.
And Marvin Hamlisch, who was our, God rest his soul, was...
Oh, my God. I love him so much.
The sweetest man ever. Everyone on the tour was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know you've heard rumors about Barbara, how she can be a tyrant. This was not the case for us, so we can't speak it otherwise.
No.
She was lovely, and I'll get to those stories too because it changed, right?
What?
Well, no, because Because we were just hired to play these roles, right? It was, first of all, everyone should know that Barbara showed up to every rehearsal every day. She came to the afternoon rehearsal. She showed up every, there wasn't a day that she missed. She sang the full concert every single day. She's a professional.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Oh.
Oh.
Christine's here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm via satellite.
via satellite.
So, but I want to know about, so she's doing that, and she's also notorious for having the worst stage fright ever. She talks about it. Did you ever get that sense from her?
I did.
When you were performing?
I didn't. Yeah, I did. I experienced it once before, and this is where I'm going to get to. You remember when we did the, we did a test concert for all her friends and family.
Yeah, right.
So, like, the Gary Marshall was there. Right. Penny Marshall was there. I think Rosie was there. No, not Rosie. But it was like Gary, the Marshalls, and like Kenny G, and then her dentist, right?
And her mother.
And her mother.
In
a
wheelchair.
So we did like this practice concert. The set wasn't even finished, and there was 11 elevators on the stage, and in the original rehearsals and opening, I came up in the opening with the piano on the center elevator. So I shared below stage with Barbara. This is our first time ever doing this. And I go, she looks at me right before I'm, because I do the first scene with Randy and Lauren. And right before I'm about to go up, she goes, "Oh, Alec, if I can get through this, we're going to be okay. I just need to get through this." And she was sort of like, you know, she was really nervous. And I'm like, I look at her and I go, "Barbara, I can't talk to you right now."
No, you didn't.
I swear to God. I go, I'm freaking out right now. Because this is our first time performing it. She goes, "What?" I go, "I can't. She keeps talking to me." And I go, "I can't talk to you right now, you know?"
You told Barbara Streisand to zip it. I'm about to perform.
I was like, "I can't talk. I'm about to go up for the first time. And I'm on a piano that's still like wood. It's not even like painted or anything, right?" Cut to the next rehearsal. Kenny goes up to me and he goes, "So we've changed your entrance. You're now walking through." Remember how I was? So that's why that happened, because she
wanted
like,
nothing to do with you.
I was making her more nervous. She has a fear of forgetting the words. So we had like 30 teleprompters on the stage and a huge one in the back of the house.
Well, they had all those LED screens, those huge
Right, but
LED
they also
screens.
Had them at the...
Oh, right, the, right, 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 right. Yeah.
Which she never needed. She had all these speeches. She knew every single word to every song, but it was more just like the security
comfort.
Of having
just
it.
Just security.
Yeah.
And like she would have like every... There was like every swallow... but that was on the, it was crazy. It was distracting for us because we don't want to see it. Mm-hmm. Like we were like, "Get that away from me," because it was so distracting to me to, you know, during our lines.
I didn't notice.
So that happened.
You didn't notice? And then,
not on the floorboard.
Oh my God.
I always noticed it.
I was like, but that's, and you had to play Shirley MacLaine on top of it for just that performance.
Yeah.
Just so that she had, we had something to play off of.
Yeah.
You have to check out Timeless if you can. Do you remember? Okay. So then we finish rehearsing in LA and we go to Vegas to rehearse for 2 weeks, which was brutal. Cause I don't know if you've ever been to Vegas, but like, first of all, we're staying at the MGM Grand. It's pre-remodel, so it's still the Wizard of Oz theme. And every morning I woke up to the Scarecrow staring at me.
What?
Yes, that was in my room. I don't know. Did you have a suite or something?
No, I didn't have a suite.
Okay.
No, but one nice thing that they did do for me was they put a Christmas tree in my hotel room.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, it was brutal for me to be in Vegas.
When you guys performed in Vegas, I've heard this from other people who have gone to do shows there. Did you ever get what is known as like the Vegas throat? Like you just get so dry.
Oh, because it's in the desert.
Your voice, basically. Is that ever a concern?
Well, we didn't really sing. Lauren was the only one.
I heard a lot about the Vegas throat, but that's because I mean there was a whole team of people that I think their one job was to make sure I didn't fall or like lose my voice, or you know, everybody was making sure that I was safe at all times.
Yeah,
I remember one time running through MGM Grand, like it was before a dress rehearsal or something, and I was just like being a kid having fun, and
like all the stagehands were like rolling up all these like big carpets, and I was leaping over them, and I got stopped by like three security people, and then Barbara's manager comes over, the director comes over, and they're like, Lauren, you can't run. Like, I couldn't. I didn't have an understudy. It was like,
that's, well, you did
have
an understudy.
And then they got me an understudy.
They got you an understudy.
I should have never went running.
Did she ever perform the understudy? I can't remember.
No, they. I think they gave her a rehearsal or something.
Yeah, they
like
did give her a
dress
rehearsal. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that girl. We had, what was the best was, remember the masseuse?
No, what?
No.
There was a masseuse that was there that was just there for Barbara, but she would come and rub our shoulders in the house. She didn't do that for you?
No.
And then that.
What was the hairdresser's name?
Suki?
Suki.
Yes, I remember Suki.
Yeah, she traveled us. And then like the florist, her gardener would travel with us as well because her dressing room had to be exactly the same no matter what venue we were at. And all the flower, all her roses.
It was like a white tent.
Everything was white.
Yeah.
And all her roses were imported from her garden. And like if we were in Australia, they were coming, whatever it was. But here was the best part. Is that we get to Vegas and we hear, Randy and I hear murmurs of them going to, doing more dates and going to Australia. But they hadn't asked Randy and I, and the whole time.
Oh, now I remember this. You guys are like, are we going? Are we not going?
I think, Lauren, I'm almost sure that you were scheduled to go.
Really?
Yeah. And here's why. Because I remember the situation. And this is why we love Marvin Hamlisch so much, is that the show was very expensive to produce. It was a beast. It was the biggest show that she had ever done.
There were 450 crew.
Yeah, 450 crew. The biggest set she ever had.
75-piece
orchestra. Her largest orchestra ever. At that time, the largest LED split screen.
Oh, yeah,
that's
remember that?
That was ever built.
This first thing, time.
This show was a beast. So it was very expensive. So there's these rumors because we're like about like other because other crew people, they all travel with the show because they've done the show. So they're talking about their passports in Australia. And we're like, why aren't they asking us to fucking Australia?
We were worried. We were
panicked.
So
we're
worried.
Like, we're getting fired. This is over.
It was
over.
Nice.
It was
know,
over. Yeah, we're like, whatever. Know. But we sort of fell in love with everybody and we had such a blast, you know.
And we wanted to go to Australia.
We wanted to go to Australia.
Duh.
So I'm like, fuck, you know, whatever. So the whole here we are. We're about to do the show in Vegas, like to turn the millennium to ring in 2000 on stage with Barbara Streisand. And all Randy and I could think about is like, are we going to go to Australia? So finally they go, do you guys have passports? And we're like, yes, we do. They're like, okay. Just want to make sure, just in case. I was like, okay. Well, it turns out what they had been discussing before, and Marvin Hamlisch changed their mind, was originally they were going to bring Lauren with them and have two giant silhouettes of us.
I remember.
Like,
in
black like that, those black silhouettes, you know, that would pop up on screen. Next to Lauren, Lauren would do the whole opening thing with these two silhouettes and use our recorded voices because we've been recording it every day.
Oh, my God.
And they were going to just do that to save money for them because, remember, they didn't negotiate a tour. They negotiated show by show.
Yeah. Yep.
So Marvin told them, you guys are idiots. This is the great – these people are so much fun to work with. They're great together. You have to bring them. And he –
how did you find that out?
Marvin
that
told
that?
Me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I don't remember
and
this.
And he's the reason why we end up going to Australia.
Bless his heart.
The best – I also remember oh, shit. What was it? Well, anyways, any stories from you on that opening night?
I just remember, you know, the whole thing was being filmed for television. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
MGM show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The entire time we did it for the year, whether we were in New York or in Australia, everything was being shot.
Everything was being shot, but we were also shooting for a special.
Yeah, for a special.
For a Fox special.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were doing pickups, there was a conflict of interest with Kenny and Barbara, because Barbara wants everything real and right. played for camera, and Kenny wanted everything big and played for stage.
Correct.
So she would always give us counterintuitive notes, be like, take it down a little, like just bring it more real, you know?
Right.
And Kenny would be like, you need to be bigger. Mm-hmm. Right. So we would always be confused. We're like, which way do we go? Because they were taping all these shows.
I just remember. So, you know, when the millennium happened and, you know, there were thousands of balloons coming down.
And the confetti.
Confetti. It was just the most miraculous thing. You know, every star was in the audience. Everybody was there. I mean, I don't know if you remember that.
They we met Elizabeth Taylor.
Jack Nicholson.
Met, yeah. Tom Hanks. Hello.
I mean, it was.
John Travolta.
Yep. Crazy. And
Don Cheadle.
That's right. I love Don Cheadle.
I love Don. Who doesn't?
And so all the balloons come down. And Happy New Year. And this, the millennium is crazy in the band. And I go over and I kiss Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a mistake.
Oh, that's right.
It was a big mistake because I had red lipstick on. And I made a big red lipstick
right.
thing on her cheek. And she looks at me and she goes, it's her lipstick on my face.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was so concerned because it wouldn't match when, you know, right. we were filming and there was this big, hunky, you know, thick lip lipstick. And I went, no, it's okay. And I'm starting to rub it off and make it worse. Oh, God, I felt so bad.
Oh, my God,
so
I remember
bad.
That. Because, yeah, I was like, that's it. And remember, every time we do something, we're like, we're getting fired. We're
definitely getting fired.
We're getting fired. And Lauren had her job security.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know about that. I was nervous.
Oh, you did. Oh, Lauren, yeah, you did. There's only one Lauren.
Here's another thing.
There are plenty of us.
This is why I want to say Barbara was really sweet also, is that because Marty Hom, who was the tour manager,
right.
We became friends with him, whatever. When we originally started the Vegas show, they gave us one set of tour passes. It wasn't an all access. It was an all access backstage, but it wasn't an all access pass. Then we got a call from Marty Hom saying, I need you to come to the production office. I have to change your passes. And he said to us, he goes, this is the first time that Barbara has ever requested the other talent to come into her dressing room and have access to it. So I'm giving you an all access. He goes, she really likes you guys. So she wants you in her dressing room after the show, every show. So we were like, oh, I mean, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. So after every show, we would go into Barbara's dressing room.
Yeah, that's where we hobnobbed with Barbara Walters.
Yeah, we hobnobbed with everyone.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody was there.
So then,
who was the biggest star that you guys met after the show in the dressing room?
I'd say Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor. And so sweet.
Wow. She said to me,
I'll never forget this. It made me feel so great. She goes, you are so funny.
Yeah.
I wish I was like you. That you could. And I went, oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
Elizabeth
amazing.
Taylor for sure.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
For sure.
Everybody was so nice.
But Dick
so
Van Dyke was
there.
Huge, too.
Dick Van Dyke was there.
Oh, God. Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett, amazing.
Oh, I died.
Oh,
Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier.
Don Cheadle, guys. Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
I don't remember. cast of Friends. Not Friends.
Friends? Where was I?
No, not the cast of Friends. I'm sorry. The cast
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
Oh, my God.
And they were
missing.
New, and they were so big-eyed.
They were
it.
And we're going to get to Australia, because we're going to get into the, what's her name? speaking of Greece. Olivia Newton-John story, because that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
So,
did you get the clock?
So many stories.
We used to look at our gift bags too, like for Christmas and stuff, because we had to rehearse during Christmas because of it was a New Year's show. So we'd look at our gift bags and stuff, and like, did you get the clock? Did you get the pen? Compared to like, did you get a jacket? You know, whatever. So we get to Australia. By the way, we're exhausted. 15-hour flight.
17.
Okay, sorry. 17-hour flight. We get to Sydney.
I remember every minute of it.
We get to our rooms.
Where are you performing in Sydney?
We're performing at the football
stadium.
Yeah, we
right?
did Sydney and Melbourne, but we performed at the football stadium. So it's like this gigantic outdoor football stadium.
And each night, it was two-night performances.
Yes.
And when we got to Melbourne...
No, well, first let's stay with Sydney, because got to Sydney, in our rooms was a note from the director saying, we just got off a plane, 17 hours, overnight, rehearsal in like 2 hours on the stage. And we're like, what the fuck? Has he lost his mind? We're exhausted. So then we went to go have breakfast right by the opera house in Sydney, knowing that we had to go to rehearsal. And then we ended up having breakfast at the hotel that the director was staying at. And he came in all bright-eyed and like rested with his satchel, and he dropped it. And he said, isn't this magical? And we're like, fuck you, dude. We're exhausted, you know?
Magical.
So anyways, we ended up rehearsing, whatever. We do the show in Sydney. It's... listen, Sydney was amazing.
Yeah.
I never had an experience like that in my life. Yeah. Plus, the butter is delicious.
Oh, we were dying from the butter.
Yeah, the butter.
We get to
Sydney. We're doing the show.
The people so friendly.
In the second act of the show, I had come up in an elevator with the piano to play a waiter, where Barbara gets to give it back to me and tell me how I didn't make it in the business, right? So, before that show started, we were about to go on, and you know, you hear the clock turning because it's all about brother time and tapping. But at this point, we have a ballet dancer, like a famous Sydney ballet dancer, and the doors open, the light comes out. I walk out with my sheet music, and I look down to see the elevator, the piano come up on the elevator.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
in front of a lot, like stadium seating.
50,000 people.
Screaming audience, right? I look down and I see the tech look up at me and put his arms up and go, I don't know what happened. The elevator got stuck and my piano didn't come out. So Randy, the bitch that she is... I'm like, thank God I have improv skills, because I'm like, I've got to improv this thing. Now, mind you, I'm not really playing the piano, okay? I'm faking the piano, but the orchestra behind me, the pianist, is playing the piano
right.
part.
She followed
and it's
you.
All on cue.
What did I do? I don't remember.
Oh, you started laughing on stage at me, and I'm trying to
I'm
keep
such
it
a
together because I have no piano. And by the way, this music is like an accordion style. It's a huge amount of music. So I fold the music in half and start pretending to conduct, because now I'm channeling Marvin Hamlisch.
Good call.
So I start conducting Lauren, right?
Yep.
And then there's a moment where I slam on the piano, like that, those like horrible angry chords, and I slam down, but I have no piano slammed down. So I know the timing of it, because at this point we've done it so many times. I know exactly when it happens. So I yell out, stop! And it goes, kunk, right? And then it's like...
I stopped singing.
Right.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. It's intermission.
Oh, no.
Kenny Ortega's like, great job. You saved the scene. That was awesome. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe that just happened to me. We're in Barbara's dressing room. Marty Ehrlichman, her manager, comes at me and starts yelling at me and goes, what were you drinking again? What were you doing out there?
Oh, I remember.
What were you doing out there? And Kenny was stopping him going, Marty, he saved the scene. He saved it. He saved the scene. He goes, what are you doing? I go, Marty, are you watching the show? He goes, no, let me tell you what I do, kid. I walk around the stadium for sound. All I care about is sound. And all I could hear was you making up lines. I go, I had to improv the scene, Marty, because I had no piano.
Oh,
there was no piano. Yes. It didn't come up. He goes, oh, good job, kid. You know, it's like the next morning,
job
the
security.
The next morning, Barbara, she goes, I saw the tape.
Uh-oh.
Thank you so much. How did you know how to do that? And I go, do what? She goes, just to make that up and make it work. And I go, I'm from an improv background. That's what I do. She's like, it was so great. Thank you. It was such a compliment.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the biggest compliment ever.
Yeah.
Then there was one night that Olivia Newton-John was coming to the show. Do you remember this, Lauren?
Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing Olivia Newton-John.
Do you remember where she was sat?
No.
Not on the side that Barbara likes.
You know, that's so funny, because somebody was telling that story, a friend of mine, the other day, and I went, that didn't happen.
Oh, it happened.
What happened?
So we were...
You must have told Bob Garrett because... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, because we that. Were... It was in Sydney, and we were at intermission again. Right. And Kenny goes to Noah? Barbara. Hold my mic. Kenny goes to Barbara. He goes, Livy's here. Livy's here. And she goes, oh, great. Where is she sitting? Why are you doing... She goes, why are you doing this? He goes, because, you know, she's here. She goes, where's she sitting? You keep going this way. She goes, well, she's just left of center. She goes, that's not where I... She was upset that that's where she was sitting because she likes everyone on the right side because that's not her great side.
That's so... I don't remember that, but I remember when Josh came to... James came to rehearsal one day and he sat down on the wrong side. And she said... Nope. You got to sit over there.
Right.
So I know she was very self-conscious.
She was self-conscious.
About it.
Yeah. Well, I remember when her assistant, when she was singing from the table in the audience at MGM, and her assistant was, because, by the way, she sings full voice at every rehearsal. Like, imagine having a Barbara concert every day for a year, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, every single day, you hear her sing these songs, these Side iconic note. Songs.
She asked me how I warmed up.
Oh, that's the right. best story. Go ahead,
yeah.
Lauren.
She was like, Lauren, come here. I'm like, yeah. She's like, what is that you're doing? I'm like, oh, just warming up. What do you mean you're warming up? I'm like, well, we're about to do the show. I'm just warming up my voice. Well, how do you do that? I'm like, what do you mean? And I didn't even know that she wouldn't warm up. So it's like, what is she asking me? And she's like, sing that thing. And I sang it, and she sang it back to me. I don't know, just like a scale or whatever. She's like, "Ah, I never done that before." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "I never warm up."
It's amazing.
Why do you need to warm up? You just start singing.
No, she's got. You can't explain the talent that she has. It's unexplainable. It's ridiculous.
It just comes out.
It's truly. And then you know you're sitting there, and you know your hair is standing up on your arm.
Every single time.
How does that happen? Mm-hmm. It's such a true gift that comes from I don't know where because it's almost not coming out of her. It's from somewhere else. Transcendent.
It's effortless, too. Like,
yeah, effortless.
She never strains to hit anything. It's just like, whoop, that fell out.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
It was amazing. And then I remember in Melbourne, she brought us into her room to ask... she brought us in her room to ask if we would extend... Because she's like, they want me to do more shows. Would you, if I do them, will you guys come? Remember, we were sitting
yes,
there?
I do. Yeah.
And I would be like, of course. And in my head, I know me and Randy's head, we were like going, they don't have a contract with us. So, and we had favoritations, so we were like, renegotiate. Yeah.
Wait, which show did it rain in Australia?
Melbourne.
Sydney.
No,
Sydney. The second night in Sydney.
You sure?
I think it was Melbourne because I thought that's when
you don't remember not wearing your wig. You remember it raining in Sydney or Melbourne.
don't remember they had to give out
ponchos.
Well, that was one of my favorite memories.
Wasn't
of
that
Australia.
Melbourne?
I don't know.
No,
I don't remember.
Sydney.
But it was
100%
definitely
it was Sydney.
In a football
what's
stadium.
What's her name? Who came to see it? Who you just mentioned?
Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
She was there
when it rained.
That's what I thought you
Sydney.
Were getting at with the 11
in
Melbourne. Because I also remember when I thought it was Melbourne when we got there and the first day she was very unhappy with the sound. And they spent $700,000 to put curtains way at the top of the stadium so that it would absorb the sound because
it was
getting
too much
knocked
reverb,
out.
Right?
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Wasn't that Melbourne?
I think that was Melbourne.
Do you remember when we were rehearsing on stage, I think it was Sydney, it was in the afternoon, we were rehearsing on stage, and remember, it's a 75-piece orchestra. Someone went to the bathroom. The orchestra's behind her. She stopped in the middle of the song, goes, hold on, something's not right, I'm missing an instrument. And it was the concertmaster, Ralph, who went to go to the restroom. He's one of the head violin.
Right, right.
She... Not looking, she knew by ear that something was missing.
Ralph, it was incredibly. Was he the guy that looked like Jesus? And he's like on the side of the 5 freeway now.
Yes.
He plays, like a huge. Yes.
Yeah, he plays for the
Philharmonic.
Yeah, he plays for the Philharmonic.
Whenever I drive past him, I'm like, "Hey, guy."
Remember in Melbourne, we went to the.
We got lost.
No, but we
took a hike.
We went shopping, and you bought this.
This is one of my favorite. Are you the jean jacket story?
No, what's
that's one of my favorite stories of you, one of your
Kenny
antics
Ortega
on tour.
When he buys the jacket and then we pretend that you bought the same exact jacket.
We were all
jacket.
Shopping and we were spending all this tour money because we're like, we're
right,
in
well, the
Melbourne,
really
Sydney,
strong.
Wherever we were.
Yeah.
And Kenny Ortega comes out of one of these stores with a jean jacket with these cuffs like up to his elbows and it was like very fashion forward or something. and you saw it and you were like, oh God, no, I have to do something. And you went into one of the shops and didn't you give them your wallet or something for collateral? And you were like, hold on, I need to borrow this jacket. I'm doing a bit. I need to make fun of our director.
You don't remember
forgot that?
Yeah.
That.
Do you remember it now?
Yes.
You pretended that you brought the same jacket.
So they let him walk out of this store with this, I don't know, $400 denim
at
jacket
least.
Or something. And he walks into the restaurant where we're all eating, and he's like, oh, look at this jacket. This is a fabulous jacket. I just bought this jacket. This
Kenny
is fabulous. And Kenny's like, that's my jacket. I just bought that jacket. You don't remember that?
No, but I'm genius.
I have a photo of it.
You have a photo of it? Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, we have to see it.
Oh, my
God. It's you and him together. My mom sent it to me.
Because we used to play jokes on one another.
Oh, yeah. No, remember? Okay.
The hotel room.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember that?
What was it that they were paying for all my phone incidentals?
Yes. You pretended
they
were. You
like,
go, aren't they paying for your phone and your incidentals? And I go, no.
And
he goes, well, I'm getting that.
And then you were pissed.
Oh, I was so angry.
You were pissed. And then I also told you that
they
upgraded me into a suite.
You got upgraded to a suite. And I go, what? Because you were constantly doing
We were
jokes
playing
on
pranks
people.
On each other so much. There was one time I got a call from Randy in the morning. We're in Melbourne. I'll never forget this.
I don't know if I remember.
You were screaming at the top of your lungs.
Oh.
Screaming at the top of her lungs.
No, it was in Las Vegas.
No, all it was in Melbourne.
Okay,
what was
whatever.
She screaming?
She brushed her teeth with Preparation H.
No. No,
she
you
didn't.
She thought
it was the toothpaste, and she brushed her teeth with Preparation
so I
H.
Thought,
good God.
So I thought, oh my God, my gums and my teeth are going to be shrinking. I go, help.
She called me.
What am I going to
like,
do?
You got to come up here now. I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, I brushed my teeth with Preparation H.
And I brought the Preparation H. At that time, I was only 50 because someone told me they were good for under
your eyes,
bags, you know. Yeah. So I don't know. I was in the morning and I reached over and I started. And I was so panicked. I thought, I'm in trouble.
Oh, God.
Oh, we had some good times.
We had crazy.
Yeah, but your teeth look so young now.
So then we ended up extending. We do Staples Center in Los Angeles, and then we close a show in Madison Square Gardens. Now, at this point, Richard J. Alexander has taken over the tour.
Right.
And he's made just a few changes. And then I get a call. I would get a call. Like, for instance, like, it was during the election, so she wanted to do some political bits. So I would get like a call from the assistant saying, hey, Barbara wants to change some lines. Can you rehearse with her over the phone before the show tonight? Like, it'd literally be like that last minute. I'm like, sure, no problem. She said, okay, be in your room at 3:00 and I'll have her call. So she called my room. We'd rehearse the scene and she'd be like, are you okay with this? I'm like, great. She goes, you're going to be fine. I don't need to go over it again. I'm like, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it. So we do, you know, it was fine. Well, one day they call and said, Barbara would like to talk to you at like 2:00. Be in your room. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. She goes, hey, Alec, my friend Donna Karen, which, by the way, we're getting the Donna Karen story because it's really funny.
Oh, yeah. I have photos of that, too.
My friend Donna Karen is having a Rosh Hashanah dinner on a yacht, and we're going to travel around New York City.
No, we're going to go around the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
With fireworks.
I thought it was her husband's birthday.
Because it was her husband's birthday.
It was her
birthday. And they designed all these fireworks on the island of the Statue of Liberty. And we got on this huge yacht, sat down with 25 people to have dinner.
Barbara Walters was there.
Barbara Walters was there. And
I was wearing a stupid hat.
What? What?
I had a stupid hat on.
You had a stupid hat?
Well, I remember going, because I know that Barbara thought I was Jewish, because Alec Led is Alec Ledowitz.
It comes back.
That's what's
at you.
How, you know.
Oh, no.
Right, this is where it comes back. So here I am going to my first Rosh Hashanah dinner, and I'm looking at Randy going, what the fuck is Rosh Hashanah?
And I probably said, I don't fucking know either.
No.
And I'm Jewish.
No, you know what you said to me? What? Just say that you love the Kugel. That's what she said.
I did?
Yeah. That's what you told me.
That's hilarious.
That so we
hilarious.
Go,
it's
and
Kugel.
I'm like, so
it's
Marvin
Kugel,
Hamlish.
It's Kugel.
Kugel. Yeah. Whatever. So Marvin Hamlish is like conducting this small band on this yacht. We end up going for fireworks up on the roof of the yacht. It was insane.
They were playing Tchaikovsky or something as the fireworks.
No, they were playing the Timeless album.
They were?
Yes.
I don't remember that. But
they were playing the Timeless album.
So anyway, we go around this incredible Statue of Liberty. We're so close, and these incredible fireworks were going off, and Marvin Hamlish, and it was spectacular. And I'm standing next to Donna Karen and Barbara, and I hear Donna say, what did you think, Barbara? And Barbara said, it was too loud. No, because acute hearing, I mean, it was too much.
Yeah, probably.
She doesn't ever want to, like, destroy her hearing, but it was hilarious.
Remember when the whole competition between Barbara and Marty on us attending parties?
No.
So Marty was like, Marty Ehrlichman became, he started liking me a lot because I would like hang out and have scotches with him or whatever in the hotel bars. And his wife is a sweetheart. His son was amazing, and he worked on the tour.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he goes, Alec, I want you to come to my party. We're having a party in my suite tonight. I want you to make sure you come. Because I was like the life of the party wherever we went.
Everybody loved you.
Everyone loved me.
But it's not true. Everybody loved you.
So I'm like, oh, Marty, I'd love to come. But Barbara invited us to her suite. And we're in Melbourne at that casino. And I go, Barbara invited us to her suite. And he goes, oh, forget that party. My party is going to be so much better. Come to my. So I turned to the thing. I'm like, what do I fucking do? I can't miss Barbara's. Look at the baby.
Oh, hi, sweetheart.
This is Georgia. So I go, all right. Georgia. So we go up to Marty's party. And I was like going to. And then we went to Barbara's party. And then Barbara opened the door. Remember, Randy?
Yes.
She opened the door and she goes, so what do you think?
Well, you didn't build it up right. This was the top floor of the entire
casino. It was like,
I mean, not the casino, the hotel. They had like,
I'm saying that
I think it was like 15,000 square feet.
Easy. Yeah. There's
you would
two
need
dining
roller
rooms.
Roller skates, even she said, to get from one end of the
butler the
room.
Whole bit.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
So Barbara opens the door.
Do you remember what I did?
And Randy says, she goes, Barbara says to us, so what do you think?
And I take a puff, a pretend puff of a cigarette, and I went, what a dump.
So then we look across the room, and in the living room, on the couch, in a sari, barefoot, with one leg up, is Donna Karen.
I don't remember.
She's
that.
Wearing full sari, and I'm like, holy shit, what is happening right now? And I remember saying, I sat next to her, and she said to me, she goes, you remind me of a young Marvin Hamlish and Jason, her
interesting.
Son.
Interesting, yeah. And that's when you realize, there you go.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yep. Oh, my God, we had so much fun.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was depressing at the end.
Remember when we were filming, and I want to say it was probably in Vegas, and I had stockings on, and this is the 1940s. And
oh, that's
the 1940s,
right.
You had a seam in the back of your stocking.
Right.
Well, things were so chaotic getting the show together the first time we did it. You know, costumes and people running around and craziness. I had a run in my stocking, and I said, you know, to the costumer, I said, I think you got to get me another pair because I have a run in this. We don't have time. We don't have money. We can't. So I put on regular stockings without a seam. We come on stage to rehearse. And this is how specific perfectionism, everything about her.
She looks at my legs. I turn around. She says, "What's going on? There's no seam in your stocking." And I went, "Well, Barbara, you know, we didn't have time." And she ran and she got an eyebrow pencil.
We drew it on. I was
and yeah. She drew the line on the back of my stocking.
Too, yeah.
She was
as
so
an actor,
angry
she was like,
"You're
an with actor,
me. You call yourself an actress?"
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, and I felt so bad. It's crazy.
Do you remember the wig moment when we're in overtime and she was brushing your wig?
Oh yeah.
Why was she brushing your wig?
Well, because
they were in her
when I first
room.
Got the wig, it had to look exactly like her mother. And it had too many curls, and her mother didn't have that kind of hair. So in her dressing room, she says, wait, sit down. And she got a brush, and she started to design, you know, my hair, my wig. And one of, I don't know, it was Marty or someone came in and just said, "Barbara, come on. Do you realize how much money we're spending for the 75-piece orchestra? It's 10 grand a half an hour."
Yeah.
"And you're brushing her hair? Barbara, come on, let's go."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was
because we were
nuts.
In overtime with the orchestra.
It was nuts.
Oh, I
10 grand an hour
that.
For that 70. Maybe it was more than that. I don't know. But I remember that just getting. It was so interesting. There were so many dynamics to the whole experience that
James was amazing. The whole thing was just like it was so surreal. Like I couldn't believe at 28 years old I was like on a tour that people would like.
You were 28?
I was 28. That I was like on that.
You guys had such a, like you really did have a different experience than I did.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Like you know.
Well, you were what?
You were
14?
Baby 16, right?
15? I was 13 to 15 over the whole course
yeah,
of everything.
You're baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're...
So,
hey, let me ask you,
so,
say,
yeah.
With the orchestra, didn't they have somebody from Chicago on there, the band Chicago?
No, they had the drummer from Chaka Khan, J.R.
Okay,
yeah, J.R.
But didn't they have a horn player that was...
They had a horn player that your
Gary,
dad...
Gary Grant.
Right.
Yeah.
Wasn't he at some point
he
in
was,
Chicago?
I think you're right. Or
no, he was in the band. No, he was
no,
in
no,
the,
no, no. You're talking about Lou Soloff, who was Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Lou. That's Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah. I love Lou. Lou.
Was he an original from Blood, Sweat,
yeah.
and Tears?
Yeah. Lou became a really good
Tell
friend
me his
of
last
my
name again.
Soloff.
Soloff.
He
became,
away.
Yeah.
Did he?
Became, yeah.
Oh, he was such a nice
yeah.
guy. God,
he became a good friend of my family because my dad's a trumpet player, so they bonded. And like as a daughter, that was such a cool moment for me because I don't remember if it was MGM or I think no, it was Madison Square Garden. Gary and Lou let my dad sit in the like in the trumpet section when we were in between like rehearsals and stage stuff, and my dad got to like play his horn and hear it in that stadium, and it was just yeah.
Made me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
A lot of people
Your
cried.
Dad
My dad was
so
over the moon.
And he was gorgeous. Do you remember
more
that?
Importantly,
so
do handsome. You remember more importantly, do you remember the shawl?
Oh my God.
Let's talk about the real stuff.
We went shopping and I made Randy buy this like shawl.
Accordion shawl.
It's an accordion shawl. But do you remember that store Units? In the 80s, there was a store called Units where you could buy one piece. It could be a skirt,
a top,
a dress. It could be what it was like. And this shawl did the same thing. And I made her buy it.
I had a little blue matching one.
40 feet of an accordion gray.
We have a picture of it.
Do you still have it?
Of course, I was going to bring it and I forgot.
Oh, no.
So, okay, I want to get to what... listen, we had an amazing time with. I wish we could like
really
reunite
did.
In the
You
session.
Know what?
Like, I would love to do that show again.
It was so much fun. And just... the people, it was just a great chemistry, and it was the best.
Did so?
I thought that was life's going to be like that from
thought,
then on.
I thought for sure.
Staying yeah, you're telling me.
Here's the best part: is after that show, I would get called in to audition just because they wanted to hear Barbara's stories.
Yeah.
So literally, I would remember going to an audition, not even right for half the roles. I'm like, okay, but like big parts and whatever. And they're like, okay, great. You want to read it? And I read it. And go, okay, sit down. And I go, okay. Like, so tell us about Barbara.
No,
tell
us about really? Barbara.
100%. Half my auditions were that. Tell us about Barbara.
I'm me
like,
too.
I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, we're dying to know what it was like. And I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I go, it was amazing. They're like, but no, like what was she like? I go, she was amazing.
Yeah.
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 People keep asking. They're not satisfied with she's amazing.
No, they want to
like,
know.
No, but really,
go,
they really
well, first
want
of all,
to know.
I can't tell you. Second of all, it's not
who the human being
yeah.
is. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And, there's a fascination with celebrity, you know, and after this town.
After the show, Randy, this is where I have beef with you, Laura.
What did I do?
Because I think you made the biggest mistake of your life.
Oh, God.
Because.
You tell me now.
Well, no, I tried telling you because instead of like doing what the natural progression of your career should have been, you should have, in my opinion, uh-huh. I was like, this girl should go straight to Broadway and build a career on Broadway and start doing that and then move on. Instead, you try to do an album. You were trying to become a recording star right after at 13.
There's a lot to that. But I want to know how you think I screwed my life up.
I didn't say you screwed your life up.
Let's get to that.
I think your career could have taken a different progression in the sense that coming off a Barbra Streisand tour, being your age, playing Barbra, like the natural progression was for you to go to New York, I think, especially with your pipes. The way you sing is unreal. I mean, you sound.
But I'm not a dancer.
That Matt, I wasn't a dancer, and I did a lot. That's how
you would have been a star on Broadway, 100%.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I got the Disney Channel show immediately after the
Even Stevens.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
but you didn't shoot on off season. You should have done Summer in New York.
Right. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
wanted to manage her so bad. Like I
you should have.
Control.
I needed someone. Are you kidding
me?
Oh,
she should be doing
I needed
this.
Someone. I mean, think about...
With Shia.
Yeah.
Which I want to get into that.
Okay. No, I mean, it was an incredible opportunity, and it was my first big gig. I mean, you know, the biggest that I've ever had. So you can imagine after that, I had my own little, like, Streisand press tour where that's all anybody wanted to talk to me about. Or like you said, they just want to hear the stories and whatnot. And then... Along with it came, you know, some sort of idea of who I should be as an artist, too. And so, like, when I could have done certain music things, but I didn't want to sing those songs. I didn't want to do that kind of music. So I was like, I'm going to write my own, and I'm an artist. And so I did that thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So then Even Stevens happens. How many seasons did you do?
I came in on the last episode of the first season. So I basically did, three seasons.
And how was Shia at that time?
Hilarious.
He was
still
more
is.
On. Yeah, you still talk to him?
Oh no, I mean like. Oh. No, I mean when I see people from the show, it's like seeing people you went to high school with.
Right.
You know? No, but we don't hang out or anything.
Right. And then Randy went on to do a lot of guest star stuff, commercials, and you happened to do Mad Men, which got you a nomination for an Emmy, but you lost. Who are you up against?
But I felt like I won. Why do I always forget her name? Like everything else, she was on Grey's Anatomy, African American. She played a woman.
Oh, Audra McDonald? No.
Three names. She was fabulous.
Steven, can you check?
Are you Googling?
I can't remember her name.
She
was on Grey. She won.
He's a Googler.
It was 2011 Emmy nomination. But you know. I felt so lucky to get an Emmy nomination when I literally had 36 lines in 6 episodes. That's
crazy.
Is that crazy?
And they submitted it, right?
Yeah. I didn't. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. So I just felt so fortunate at this point in my career that, you know, I could take part in the whole Emmy. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but you also got to go. This is my favorite part of your career: is that you got to go sit in the audience of Dancing with the Stars to support Ralph Macchio. Yeah.
That's a highlight of my career.
Yeah, baby.
So you were because you played Ralph Macchio's mom in Karate Kid,
right?
And that movie is like
classic.
I mean, it's
absolutely. You know,
watched it the other day
when I read the script. This is like 1983. I just remember so distinctly the things I do remember. I was in my bed. I read the script. I closed and I go, what a gem. And that's all. I never thought, you know, I said, incredible part for an Asian man. But I said, what a little gem. They just, you don't, you know, read those kind of things.
Right.
And then, you know, the rest is history. But he's a great guy.
I tell people I worked with Barbra Streisand, and I tell people I worked with Daniel's mom. Everyone's equally impressed.
I know.
Well, it took me forever, like, because at the time you had short hair and you had
had no hair.
But it was short. Listen,
all right,
it was
okay.
really short. And so I didn't. You weren't recognized. Like I knew you from something, but I was like, how do I know her? Mm-hmm. And it was. This was also.
It's a voice.
This is also the time where like there was no Google. We had those brick phones. Like I had that.
Oh my
I had
God,
this.
I had
that gigantic brick phone. I used to make fun of you.
Yeah,
all
I
the
know.
Time. Like Jesus Christ, she'd walk around.
The phone
with
was the size of a brick.
Yeah.
Hello.
So I, you know, you don't like. I couldn't Google Randy Heller and like who the hell's Randy?
Right,
but
have,
I was like, and it just
that's when you had to ask people.
Yeah, and as it like rehearsals started, we were like, holy shit! And I got really close to your mom. God rest her soul.
Yeah, she adored you.
Her mom used to come, like she'd visit us in Vegas, and she'd wrap everything in tissue paper when she packed. Like she's old school. And her mom
baby.
Is a party animal, let me tell you.
Oh,
she is
something.
A hoot. And then you have two daughters.
I have two daughters,
amazing.
And now I have two grandchildren who are my life and joy. And
your youngest daughter was 15, I think, at the time?
No, they were the same age.
Cody and I were the same age.
They're the same
and
age.
And now she's like...
And now she just sold her series to
she's
TBS.
She's a writer.
Yeah,
I mean, just runs
with
the family.
Successful.
You're remarried
I'm
to
remarried.
Someone that Christine... worked with on Step by Step, Bob.
Yes, my husband, Bob Griffard, yeah.
How do you say his last name?
Griffard.
It's not Grifford?
Well, that's what people call it, but it's really pronounced Griffard.
Are you officially Randy Heller Griffard?
No, I'm just my old name, Randy Heller.
Is there a prenup?
It's a prenup-nup. No, I don't. No, there's no prenup.
Yeah, so... I barely see Lauren.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
I did the comedy thing for a long time. That's what I've been doing in recent years. Sketch comedy, producing my own content, that kind of stuff. I write as well, so write features and pilots and things like that that get shopped in. But then I also produce the only all-female comedy fest in LA called Funny Women Fest.
Where is that?
We started out at IO West for the first 2 years, and then we went out on our own and did... took over the streets of Highland Park, which was really
I live
cool.
in Highland Park.
No, you don't.
Swear to God.
I'm
I live
in Altadena.
Right off York, huh?
I'm in Altadena. We're
neighbors.
What the hell?
Yeah, I live right off York.
You guys, I can also go to bars now, so.
I know, I forget. I'm still looking at you like you're 15.
Let's go
How
right
old
now.
Are you?
I'm 32, baby. God.
Do you know Nicole Schreiber?
No, should I?
Isn't she part of that women's fest who stand
up? She might
up?
Have performed.
Oh, I thought...
It's all forms of comedy. It's stand-up, improv, sketch.
When is it?
It's in the winter. It's usually the last weekend of November, first week of December.
All right. What's your worst date ever, Lauren?
Worst date?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, can I think about it?
Yeah. Worst vacation.
Worst vacation.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's vacation, but when I had a band, we toured and we stayed at a Quality Inn and it wasn't so quality. We had bed bugs.
Ooh.
So that's a bad time.
You carried them with you on the tour?
No. We got there, we checked in, and then some of us went to check out other bands and our drummer was the only one that decided to, she wanted to take a nap. And we get back to the hotel room and she's like, we can't stay here. So she got the bed bugs. Yeah, that sucked. I know. No, because I can't think about it.
He's like,
it's weird
worst
to see.
Worst date.
Yeah. I know you had them because you're out
I
of
mean,
your mind.
I remember being on a date once with a guy that I met online, and he waited until the very end after we shared stories and, date conversation. Mm-hmm. And then he told me that he only wanted to meet me because he used to watch Even Stevens.
Oh, how funny.
And I was like...
That's nice, no. though.
It's terrible.
Yeah, at our age, you're
that's
like,
so
that
bad.
Sounds nice.
That's okay.
It was humiliating.
No, whatever.
Really?
Are
that
you
impressed
still,
by
are you still
you.
Singing?
Singing for fun, yeah. Writing music is a passion, not as a career.
Did you end up doing the Les Mis thing with Richard J?
No.
Me neither.
Was I supposed to?
You remember we auditioned for that Hollywood Bowl Les Mis?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do that?
No, I didn't do that.
You didn't cast
I did,
either of us.
It was after the Streisand thing that I did. Yeah. I did a couple dates with Marvin at the Pop Symphony Orchestra and Kennedy Center, and then I did Hollywood Bowl two times after that. But it wasn't Les Mis, and it wasn't Richard J. It was just singing.
Randy, what do you have coming up?
A nap. No.
A nap?
No. What do I have coming up? Nothing right now.
You have a movie.
Well, the movie, yeah. A Crooked Somebody with Richard Somers, who I did Mad Men with, and Clifford Collins.
Clifford Collins, yeah.
And Joanne Froggatt. Nice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she's just wonderful. It was so much fun.
What's it called again?
It's called A Crooked Somebody.
And then you have anything to promote, Lauren?
I was in a faith-based movie that's, I think, coming out in February.
About Jesus?
Yeah. Well, faith. It was about faith.
Are you born again?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm like, oh, God.
But are you a practicing Catholic?
I'm a spiritual person.
Do you take the communion?
No, because I remember your mom used to go to church.
My parents are Catholic, yes.
Yeah. And because... You know, they lived with me for a while.
Yes. I remember. You took them in, like homeless people.
Yeah, we were homeless.
They were orphans.
We were orphans.
It was so cute. I said, yeah, come on.
Come on over. Santa Monica.
I loved your house.
And used to sleep on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so cute.
We had I think I experienced my first earthquake in your house.
Oh, that was 1994?
No.
No, it was after. I mean, it wasn't even a real earthquake. It was probably just like a little rumble. But to me, it was huge.
It's a faith-based film.
It's a faith-based film that's called One Nation Under God. It stars.
Sounds very Republican.
You guys know Hercules? Kevin Sorbo?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He's in it. And Antonio Sabato Jr.?
Oh, who's running for Congress, I hear.
Right? He is. And yeah, I shot it in Louisiana. It was so much fun. And I was like a comic relief alongside my new friend, Rob Belushi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
You're like, oh.
Wait, no, where is how do we find this?
I don't know. It's being
Bible.com? What?
No. No, it's like it'll be released somewhere. I'm not sure where.
We'll find it for us.
I will. It's being edited. Right, I can tell you right now.
I think we should go to Barbara Streisand's house.
I agree. We have
the
address.
And we should knock on the door. I know where she lives now.
Yeah.
And say, "Come on. Let's do another swan song."
Let's all like just go.
One more tour.
The more I learn.
I can't do it.
All right. How do we find you social media, Lauren?
Me? I just at Lauren Frost. That's me.
On Instagram and?
Yep. Instagram. Twitter, I think it's at Lauren_Frost, but I don't really tweet. I love Instagram.
Well, you can tweet with us.
Okay. I do Instagram, but I can't remember the name.
Randy Heller.
My kids set it up for me.
Well, okay, we'll look you up, Randy Heller.
I'm on Facebook, but I never go on there.
Fuck.
Just find her at Barbara Streisand's house.
I want to get off the grid, kids.
I want to thank you guys for coming. I'm Ala Khaled, and you can find me at Alec Led, Christine Lakin. You can find at Yo Lakin, and Stephen Ray Morris. Stephen, do you have any questions for these ladies before we go?
No, I'm just in awe of this story.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah,
it's
surreal. It feels just like this little time capsule almost.
Yeah,
that's a great way to describe it. Time capsule.
Yeah. It is timeless.
It's so timeless.
You can find Timeless, I'm sure, on the Tube.
It's on YouTube. There's bits of it.
Yeah, we do the opening. Look for the opening. That's our big number. All right, and you can find Stephen Ray Morris at
Stephen Ray Morris.
Thank you. If you have any comments or questions, you can feel free to email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for having us. It was so fun.
Thank you so much.
Bye, bitches. Thank you.